Privilege to be with you all this evening. It's always counted a high honor and privilege anytime or anywhere. The opportunity is that the Lord opens the door to share His word. He can take it away just as easy as He gives it. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. In verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, we humbly come before you in the name of your Son, whom you've given the name that is above every name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray to you, grant us Holy Ghost unction.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray if it's anyone lost here tonight, Lord, we pray they might come to know before it's eternally too late. Lord, thank you for everything, most of all that great sacrifice you gave on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. Now the honor, glory, credit, and praise be given to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's read verse 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. First, we want to turn our attention to this word, beseech. Beseech in the Greek is to call near, in essence to invite, invoke by imploration, exhortation, or consolation. Beseech, call, be of good comfort, desire, exhort, give, exhortation, entreat, pray. You could also say, that it's, I beseech you, or I beg you. It's either this, for it's a war going on outside these four walls, a lot more serious than the one going on overseas. And in this verse, the Apostle Paul gives somewhat of a prophetic call, as Elijah did back in 1 Kings chapter number 18. In first, if you will, hold your place in Romans 12 and turn to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As one preacher would say, there's nothing like listening to the, something to the effect of, there's nothing like listening to the sound of the pages of the Bible turning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and begin reading verse 10. And indeed, ye do it toward all brethren, which all are all men is all people groups, which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may lack of nothing. You see, God, those that are truly His, He's with us wherever we go and whatever we do. And one of these days we're going to get a glorified body anyway. So, and we have a reason to live, and also a reason to die. And how far have we come since the days of the early church when they counted it high honor to die a martyr's death, crucified upside down, burned at the stake, set on fire. In the last number of decades, when there was this brother back in the mid-90s in Peru, at the time he was pastoring a few different works, and when he had time, he would go out and he would evangelize. When you can pray when you can't do anything else, you can pray. You'll pray for revival across this land. Pray for all sorts of things. You can order tracts, give them out to people that come to your home. Give them to when you go places, hand them out. You know, do it as the Lord opens the door. You can do all kinds of things. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Flip back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And begin reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and begin reading in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according in the flesh. You see, it's not good enough that, yes, it's important when the world looks at us, the Christians, the real ones, that they see Christ in us. But that's not good enough. If they were to cut us, would we bleed the Bible? If they were to cut us, would we bleed the Bible? Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Our weapons of warfare are few, but they are mighty. The word of Almighty God, bone jarred intercessory prayer, amen, and sacrificial love. Which brings us to this next passage. Again, hold your place in Romans 12 and flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And begin reading and read in verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, they've given themselves to it. They live it, they breathe it, it's everything to them. As this book should be everything to us. Amen. Not just preachers or Sunday school teachers, all Christians. We should bleed this book. This book is everything. This book is everything. For in the end, this book is what we will be judged by. This book is everything to us. Is everything. And the more we read and the more we study, the more the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, the more we'll be conformed to the image of Christ. And the and when those doors of opportunity open to witness, we'll know it. And when we miss them, the Lord will let us know.
Amen.
For we're to have it, always have the gospel ready to go at a moment's notice, like having your finger on the button of a switchblade knife, how that blade will flip out just like that, ready to cut. If you will, turn to Hebrews chapter, the last chapter of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 22. Hebrews 13 and verse 22. The Bible reads, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." If Christians were, if we were made to do anything, we're made, one of the things we're made to do is we're made to suffer. Christians are supposed to suffer. But we're in a time now, and it'll only get worse as the coming of the Lord draws nearer, where we're bound to endure first century persecution. But if we, those that truly belong to Him, we'll be able to bear it. In just back over to Romans, our text in Romans 12. And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next, we want to turn our attention to this word, mercies, which in the Greek, it's a couple of different things here, which is pity, mercy, to exercise pity, or have compassion on. The Lord, there was a day, and He still does, that He, each and every day, that He shows mercy on us and compassion toward us. As the Bible talks about, His mercies are new every morning. So the least that we could do is to show mercy toward others. And then Colossians chapter number 3, just hold your place in Romans. In Colossians chapter 3. In verse 12, the Bible reads, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering." And then Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn just a little bit over to Philippians chapter 2. verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, and mercies. Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, and in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This fellowship, that's true fellowship, where Christ and the things of God is preeminent, is one of the greatest opportunities to show mercy and compassion, if it's true fellowship. For Christ is to be preeminent in all things, and we're to show love, compassion, and mercy everywhere we go, in whatever we do, to whoever we come in contact with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, keep your place in Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it is our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffered, or whether we be comforted, it is our consolation and salvation. And our hope to you is... And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. But you never know who's listening or who's watching. You live and walk with Christ. When trials and sufferings and afflictions come, instead of how a lot of people want to cower in a corner and hide, instead of it driving us away from Christ, it should drive us to Him and make us serve Him even more. Do it. Above all, do it for His honor and His glory. His honor and His glory. No matter what comes our way, for we just don't ever know who's watching or who's listening. Warren Wiersbe, excuse me, wrote in Romans 12:1, we have the therefore of dedication. And it is the dedication that is the basis for the other relationships that Paul discussed in this section. What is true dedication? As Paul described it here, Christian dedication involves three steps. One, give God your body. Two, give God your mind. Three, give God your will.
That's right.
And we like to say, God has my heart. God has my heart. Well, if He has your heart, He'll have all of you.
That's right.
And He'll have all of you if He has your heart. For the heart is the control center. The devil first tries to go in through here. Then the mind. And then he tries to go after the heart. He knows if he can conquer the heart, it's game over. It's game over. Back to our text in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This word present here in verse 1, it calls for something for sure, something definite, something once and for all. This goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, as the Apostle Paul gives somewhat of this prophetic call here in verse 1 to once and for all to stand. And if you're truly His, and yes, we're gifted and geared all in different ways. And as it says here in verses 3 through 6 in Romans, in some verses here, starting in verse 3 in Romans 12, for I say, through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having in gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, ministry or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're all gifted and geared differently. We all need each other in this war, because each and every one of us can reach that are true Christians here tonight. Each and every one of us can reach others that the other one can't reach. And this word present is a verb, which in English, in English, it calls for like when you're doing something like act actively, and this is what a verb is. This word present calls for something definite once and for all, as Elijah told him in 1 Kings 18:21 to stop. How long halt ye between two opinions? Paul gives some of this same prophetic call here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We turn our attention to this word bodies. Which bodies in the Greek is some of the word Just a few of the words here in the Greek is the body as a sound, as a sound, as a sound whole. Which is you give him everything, as we talked about just a moment ago. You know, if he has your heart, if he has your heart, then he has all of you. In Ephesians chapter 5, hold your place in Romans. In Ephesians chapter 5, and begin reading in verse 21. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. The Bible reads, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be subject be to their own husbands. In everything, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now this, a lot of men and women included want to take this passage and, you know, and run away with it. But what this is, in a nutshell, is men, what this means for the men is to find out everything in this book that God says about marriage and get the truth of it and pursue it. Likewise for the women, get everything that this book says about marriage according to the wives, get after it and pursue it. And pursue it. And in First Corinthians chapter 6, let's keep your place in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse number 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 20, let's back up to the verse number 19. The Bible reads, What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As we talked about a moment ago, one of these days we're going to get a glorified body. And he gave us his all. So the least we can do is serve him, those that are his, with every fiber of our being. Amen. While we're here, with every breath and every beat of our heart that he gives us. And to stay in 1 Corinthians and flip over to chapter 15 and verse 40. Chapter 15 and verse 40. is where we'll begin reading in verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of terrestrial is another. This is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It's all because of Christ, because he is the first fruits, the first to rise from the dead, to die no more. And all the sainted dead that have gone on before, and us that'll be here when he comes back. Everything that this in this chapter, it talks about the resurrection bodies. It all depends on him. It all depended on him, on his resurrection, so that we could one day, those that are his, have a glorified body just as he has. It is sown in honor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written: the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, which was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man of this earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither death, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And Romans 8. In verse number 11, Romans chapter 8, and verse number 11, the Bible reads, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." There's a preacher by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, and he said that something to the effect that he didn't ask people if they were saved anymore. He asked them, "Did Christ?" Something to the effect of, "Does Christ live in them? Does Christ live in them?" Matthew Henry wrote, "The presenting of the body to God implies not only the avoiding of the sins that are committed with or against the body, but the using of the body as a servant of the soul in the service of God. It is to glorify God with our bodies, to engage our bodies in duties of immediate worship and in diligent attendance to our particular callings, and be willing to suffer for God with our body, for God with our bodies when we are called to it. Back in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To turn our attention to this living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifices is a lot of times they won't try to crawl off the altar. But however, we have two demonstrations of those in the Bible that willingly did so. We have Isaac in Genesis 22, who willingly got on the altar. However, God provided a substitute there. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life and willingly gave it up, extending the offer of salvation to the world. Sacrifice in the Greek is few words here. Sacrifice, the act or victim, literally or figuratively sacrifice. Literally or figuratively sacrifice. In Philippians 2:17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Sacrifice. This and where to give it all and take nothing. And as it says in 2 Timothy, where it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to be ready instant, in season and out. In a nutshell, if no one is willing to throw, when the opportunity presents itself to share the gospel, if no one is willing to throw their hat down, then you throw yours down. No matter what, at what cost, no matter at what sacrifice. A quote here from Paul Washer. He said that we are the stewards of the greatest treasure ever given to men or angels, the gospel. I'll read your text one more in Romans 12, 1 and 2 one more time and we'll close. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Ernest.